Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Good morning, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Monday, September 3rd. Happy Labor Day to everyone. Hopefully you have the day off. You can sit home, rest, relax, maybe do a fantasy football draft, and just enjoy the holiday. For those of you that are working, I'm sorry, and I wish you weren't. But there's a lot to talk about in the world of the Miami Dolphins, as there's been a lot of news the past 24 hours or so concerning the Dolphins roster as they get ready here for week one of the NFL regular season. On Sunday, the Miami Dolphins announced their 10-player practice squad, as well as made two more moves and were awarded two players off of waivers. Let's start off with the practice squad. The 10 players that are currently on the practice squad are offensive guard Isaac Asiata, linebacker Quentin Poling, defensive end Cameron Malvo, cornerback Jalen Davis, wide receiver Leonte Carew, defensive tackle Jameis Pittman, defensive end Jonathan Woodard, offensive lineman Connor Hilland, wide receiver Isaiah Ford, and running back Jeremy Langford. Not a lot of surprises. I guess the big surprise would be that Isaiah Ford made it through waivers. I thought for sure someone would pick him up. Little surprise, no one did. But Miami caught a break, and Isaiah Ford was able to return to the Dolphins and be on their practice squad. Same for Leonte Carew. Many of you who listen to this show every day know I'm not a big fan of his. But he is on the practice squad. Nobody put in a claim for him, which is not the surprising part. Little surprising that Miami's still going to try and make this work here with Leonte Carew, and he is occupying a practice squad spot. No real shocks there. Not going to go in depth. These guys will only be on the roster pretty much in case of an emergency. Right now, the Miami Dolphins only have 52 men on the roster. They still have an open spot. So for this week one game, one of the names I just listed could be called up to the main roster. We do not know. The Dolphins also on Sunday released Sam Young. Now, they did this last year to Sam Young, and I got a feeling they're going to be doing this. It's for the same reason. Essentially, if you're on the active roster week one, then your contract is guaranteed for the entire season. So Miami might release Sam Young now, play week one without Sam Young on the team, and assuming nobody else signs Sam Young, come the Monday after the week one game, the Miami Dolphins will sign Sam Young and put him back on the roster. So I got a feeling that's what this might be. Don't know for sure. Maybe not. And there's always a chance some other team will sign Sam Young. But as of right now, Sam Young is not on the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins only have 52 men on the roster. They did put linebacker Mike Hull and center Jake Brendel on injured reserve, and there's a possibility they could activate those two guys later on in the season, or one of them later on in the season after 8 games. So we'll see how they sort of see how they are health-wise in the coming weeks, but they were placed on injured reserve. So that's that. They were awarded two players off waivers. The first player, and look, I know a lot of you are sick and tired of hearing about the backup quarterback spot. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But the Miami Dolphins were awarded quarterback Luke Falk from the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee used a 6th-round pick on him this past year, pick 199. And if that sounds familiar, that's the famous 199 spot where Tom Brady was selected by the Patriots back in the day. The Tennessee Titans this year, they selected Luke Falk in round 6, pick 199, and they released him. I'm sure in their minds they were hoping they could sneak him on their practice squad. But the Miami Dolphins put in a waiver claim and were awarded Luke Falk. I like the move. Luke Falk is someone who, you know, not going to be expected to play this year, won't be expected to be the number two quarterback this year, but someone you can develop down the road. Luke Falk has nice traits. 6 foot four, 223 pounds. He's a big guy. Smooth release. Quick release. He throws a nice ball. He doesn't have the strongest arm in the world. He's got, you know, no mobility at all, really. And he took a ton of hits in college. He was sacked a bunch. But someone who hopefully the Miami Dolphins can sort of develop here as maybe a long-term guy who someday could be a number two quarterback or potentially number one. Who knows? But as of right now, on September 3rd, the Miami Dolphins, they have four quarterbacks on their roster, and Tannehill, Osweiler, Fales, and Falk. A little surprising, but this is going to shake out some way, somehow. There is a thought that the Miami Dolphins only put in a waiver claim for Luke Falk just because they want to know what the Tennessee Titans are up to week one. Tennessee has a new coaching staff in place, and the Miami Dolphins sort of want to know what's going on there. And they can sort of pick the brain of Luke Falk and get some inside info. I don't know if that's true or not. In fact, first off, if that is true, kudos to Adam Gase. That's playing a little bit dirty, and I like it. I give you a ton of credit for that. I don't think that's the case, though. I think it's just a coincidence that Luke Falk was released by the Titans, because in the lead-up to the draft this past year, the Miami Dolphins did show some interest, actually, in Luke Falk. Luke Falk, in the eyes of many, could have been picked anywhere in rounds 3 or 4. He fell to round 6, pick 199, like I said. So this might just be a solid move for the Dolphins, looking to get a young quarterback on the roster that they can develop. Who knows? But hopefully he's here in Miami long-term, because I think he'd be someone who'd be pretty good on the roster. And I would not be shocked if, look, I don't know what they're doing to quarterback, I will openly admit it, and I'm sick and tired of talking about it, so I won't spend any time on it, but having four on the roster is a bit extreme here, and I would think either Osweiler or Fales, you know, whether in a week or two, one of them wouldn't be on the team, unless they are just, you know, unless they are going to carry four, which would be a bit odd. The other player they were awarded off of waivers is wide receiver Tanner McAvoy, who I will admit I know very little about. He spent some time with the Seattle Seahawks from 2016 to 2017, was released by Seattle on August 26th. He was signed by the Saints August 29th, so literally this week, and then he was released by the Saints on September 1st. So essentially, he was with the Seahawks for 2016, 2017, just cut, you know, last Sunday, and he was signed by the Saints for, 3 days? And then he was cut, and now the Miami Dolphins have claimed him. He's a big wide receiver, 6 foot six. That's a big boy, big wide receiver. Little surprising that they went with a wide receiver as their sixth wide receiver on the roster, and it's not Isaiah Ford. They went with someone outside of house. They went with someone that they claimed from another team. A little surprised by that. Also, a little surprised they're carrying six wide receivers. Again, we'll see where this goes. But Tanner McAvoy, he is now a member of the Miami Dolphins and their sixth wide receiver. And right now, like I said, the Dolphins have 52 men on the roster. Don't know what they're going to do with that last spot. They might be looking to sign somebody, or they might promote someone from the practice squad onto the main roster for the week one game against the Titans. Or then again, they might just go with 52 guys and we'll see. We will see. But that's that. So a lot of roster maneuvering in the past 24 hours or so for the Dolphins. Nothing earth-shattering by any means. Nothing to get mad about. Nothing to get excited about. Just the Miami Dolphins set their practice squad, made a couple waiver claims, and they might not even be done. They might still look to add a body or two. And like I said, if they are, probably via linebacker, probably cornerback, somewhere around there. And of course, there's always the option of a trade. The other thing I want to talk about on this podcast is I wrote an article predicting the Miami Dolphins game game by game. It's up on the website right now at DolphinsTalk.com. Check it out. I went through all 16 games. I predicted if the Miami Dolphins will win, if the Miami Dolphins will lose. Sort of a fun little article. And I give my, you know, before the season prediction on what the Dolphins season will be. Just a few days ago, I predicted the NFL season, predicted every division, which team will win the division, who will be the wildcard teams, who will win the Super Bowl. I had the Vikings over the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the Super Bowl. So now I'm just sort of honing in on the Miami Dolphins. And I want to go through this and sort of explain in further detail the logic behind this. Let's start off right at the top. I have the Miami Dolphins going 9-7 in 2018. 9-7. That's my prediction entering the season. And let's go through it game by game. Week 1, Miami home against the Tennessee Titans. I have that as a loss. For those of you who have been listening to this podcast the past few weeks, whether it's when I've had on Armando Salguero or the big O Orlando Elzagari, I've talked about this game a lot. It's a horrible matchup for the Dolphins. A matchup nightmare. They do not match up well with the Titans. And I think the Tennessee Titans will have their way with the Miami Dolphins week 1. They're just big, physical, will run the ball up the gut. And I'm not sure if the Miami Dolphins have the defensive tackles or linebackers to contain someone like Derrick Henry. Then you also have Delanie Walker, who we know the Miami Dolphins struggle covering tight ends. Minkah Fitzpatrick, it's his first game ever, first real game ever. That's a lot to ask of him. I just think the Titans are just a bad matchup on paper for the Dolphins. So I have Tennessee winning week 1. Week 2, the Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets. I have the Miami Dolphins winning this game. I think Sam Darnold, it'll be his first home game. It'll be on a short week because they open up week 1 on Monday night. So Sam Darnold, second game ever at home. A lot of pressure at home. Short week. I just think the Dolphins pass rush will overwhelm the Jets. I think Quinn Wake will make Sam Darnold, you know, rattled. They'll have him, you know, on his back a lot, and they'll have him moving around in the pocket. I think the Dolphins can go up to New York and get a win against the Jets. So that was week 2. Week 3, Miami's back home against the Raiders. I have that as a win. I think the Oakland Raiders right now are in utter disarray. They're the oldest team in the league, number 1. Which, it is what it is, but the oldest team in the league, flying from West Coast to East Coast in September, playing in that heat at 1 o'clock. That might wear them down a bit. I like the Miami Dolphins here against the Raiders. They should have beat the Raiders last year at home with Jay Cutler on that Sunday night game. I think they get their payback here with Tannehill, obviously, a quarterback. Week 3, Miami Dolphins get the win and go to 2-1. Week 4, at New England. Look, there's no shame in losing at New England. It's a tough place to win. They still got Tom Brady. They still have Bill Belichick. They still got Rob Gronkowski. No shame in losing at New England. So I have that as a loss. And Miami at 2-2 at that point. Week 5 at Cincinnati. This, for me, was the most difficult game to predict or project, however you want to word it. I have them losing at Cincinnati. But honestly, to me, the Dolphins and the Bengals are two teams that are very close talent-wise, very close at the quarterback position, and they're very similar in a lot of ways. I predicted it to be a loss primarily because it's at Cincinnati. It's the second game in a row that Miami will be playing on the road. And I just think Cincinnati has just one or two more impact players than the Dolphins right now. So Cincinnati at home, a little bit more of a veteran team, a little more experience. I gave them the win here, which drops Miami to 2-3. Week 6, Miami returns home to play the Chicago Bears. I have this as a win. I think the Bears are a team on the rise. I think a year from now, everybody's going to be talking about them as a contender in the NFC. But this year, I think they're a year away. The Dolphins will be home early October. Mitchell Trubisky is still a bit unproven. They don't have a big passing game. So I think the Dolphins can load up, stop the run, and sort of slow down that Chicago Bears offense. The other side of the ball now with Mack in play, the Bears are going to be a pain in the neck on defense. They already were pretty good on defense. With Mack now on the roster, I think that it's just going to make them a pain in the neck. but I think the Dolphins can win at home against Chicago. I have it as a win, which puts Miami at 3-3. Week 7, Miami at home against the Lions. I also have that as a win. The Lions, to me, are a team that does a lot of things good, but nothing great. And I think, you know, the Miami Dolphins at home now, second home game in a row here. I just think they'll find a way to beat the Lions at home. I think the Dolphins pass rush again will get to Stafford in this game. I think the Miami Dolphins will be able to run the ball here against the Lions with some success. I like Miami at home against the Lions, and I have that as a win, bringing Miami to 4-3. Week 8, Thursday night, short week at Houston, have it as a loss. Miami always struggles against Houston. I think they've only beat them once ever. And short week on the road never goes good for the road team. And if Houston's healthy, which is always a big if, but with all of these picks, I'm assuming, you know, I'm looking at these teams as if they're healthy because you can't predict injuries. So I'm assuming you got Watt, you got Clowney and all those guys on defense. You got Watson at quarterback. I just think it's a lot for the Miami Dolphins on a short week to go to Houston, a team they always struggle against and win. So I have that as a loss, dropping Miami to 4-4. Week 9, Miami at home against the New York Jets. I have that as a win. Sam Darnold, once again, you know, rookie quarterback on the road this time. The Jets, to me, do not have skill position players that put fear into anyone. And I think the Miami Dolphins will just come away with a victory here. Week 9 against the Jets at home, bringing them to 5-4. Week 10, Miami travels to Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, that's a tough task for a lot of teams. He doesn't lose many home games. And I think the Miami Dolphins will lose at Green Bay here. Once again, just like when you're playing the Patriots, no shame in losing to Tom Brady. There is no shame losing to Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. That's a tough task for any team. So I have that as a loss. Miami at 5-5. Then the bye week. So I got the Dolphins 5-5 heading into the bye week. Coming out of the bye week, week 12 at Indianapolis. Indianapolis, to me, is one of the three worst teams in the NFL this year. I don't like that team at all. Weak on the offensive line. Weak on the defensive line. Luck hasn't played in a year. Not much of a running game to talk about. I just think Miami just has more talent. The game's indoors. Weather's not an issue. They just have more talent across the board. Miami goes to Indianapolis and comes away with a win. I have the Miami Dolphins at 6-5. Week 13, the Miami Dolphins at home versus the Buffalo Bills. I have that as a win. If the Indianapolis Colts are one of the worst teams in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills in 2018 might be the worst team in the NFL. Nate Peterman, Josh Allen, I don't care which one they're starting. I think they both stink. Their offensive line is a disaster. LeSean McCoy, who knows if he'll be playing by then. He might be suspended. Wide receivers, no fear there. I think the Miami Dolphins, more talent across the board this year than the Buffalo Bills. I have that as a win, and that puts the Miami Dolphins at 7-5. Week 14, home against the New England Patriots. We all know when the Patriots travel to South Florida, no matter how good they are, they struggle, and I have this as a Miami Dolphins win. I just think the Miami Dolphins have their number in South Florida more times than not. It's not often they lose to them at home. The last loss was without Ryan Tannehill. Matt Moore was quarterback, so that was probably the main reason why they lost. But they just seem to have Tom Brady's number in South Florida, and I think they will again here in Week 14. So I got the Miami Dolphins now, if you're paying attention, on a three-game win streak, winning 4 out of 5, and at 8-5 after Week 14. Week 15, Miami at Minnesota, that's a loss. In my opinion, Minnesota is the best team in the NFL this year. At worst, they're the second or third best team in the NFL this year. Heading to Minnesota and winning will be very, very difficult. So I have that as a loss. Week 16, home against Jacksonville. As much as I don't like Jacksonville's quarterback, because I don't think he's any good, as much as I think all their wide receivers stink, and as much as I think their head coach is a wimp, I have this as a loss for the Dolphins. Because Jacksonville, much like the Titans, is just a bad matchup for the Dolphins. In that, They are an amazing defensive unit that will cause fits for Ryan Tannehill and the Dolphins offense. And on the other side of the ball, Fournette and that offensive line, I think, will just be tough to handle for the Miami Dolphins front seven. I think this game's close, but I think Jacksonville will run the ball with ease, and I think their defense could cause fits for Tannehill and the Dolphins. So I got this as a loss for the Dolphins, bringing them to 8-7. Week 17 at the Buffalo Bills. I have this as a win. Like I said before, the Bills are horrible. Just god-awful. And it's not often I would pick Miami to win on the road in the cold and snow of Buffalo, New York. But I think the Bills are so bad. And at this point, they're going to be so bad, they'll probably mail this game in and not even try. It's going to be right after the holidays. They're not going to care. And I think the Dolphins go up to Buffalo, get a win to end the year at 9-7. And look, if the Dolphins go 9-7 this year, that's a heck of a year. That's a heck of a year when you consider all the quote-unquote experts say, you know, they're one of the three or four worst teams in the league. If they ever finish 9-7, that would be a heck of a year. 9-7, you know, they're going to be in play for a wild card spot. Who knows if they'll actually get a wild card spot, but they'll be in play for it. And I just think, you know, this year, I have more faith in the Miami Dolphins than many. I know some of you will say, well, you're a homer. You're a fan of the team. You run this website. You run this podcast. You're always going to think that they're going to win, which for those of you who listen to this podcast every day, know that I am not always that rosy and upbeat on the team. But I do, looking at the schedule, I think they sweep the Jets, they sweep the Bills, they beat the Colts. Right there, you're at 5. And I think between teams like Chicago, you know, Detroit, Oakland, they find a way to get to like 8 or 9. I got them at 9, you know, 9-7. If they finished 8-8, would I be stunned? No. But I think they're at 9-7 just because the Miami Dolphins aren't the best team in the league, but they got a nice little schedule here, I think. Jets stink. Bills stink. Oakland, who knows what's going on there. Colts, they can get to 9 wins. Now, that might be their ceiling. I don't know if they can get to 10 or 11, but I do think 9-7, that is my prediction prior to the 2018 season for the Miami Dolphins. So it's on the record now. All my predictions are out there as we are, you know, about a week away from the regular season. So it's all on the record. It's all in print. Hopefully, look, 9-7. I'm kind of hoping I'm right because I think that's a really good year for them. If I am wrong, I hope I'm wrong because they win more games, not less. But that's where I am with the Dolphins heading in 2018. And when it comes to the NFL overall, I just think, number one, the NFC is absolutely loaded this year. And I think the Vikings are the cream of the crop over there. If Wentz was healthy now, and I knew he was 100%, Philly would probably still be the team to beat. But, you know, even if Wentz comes back by week 2 or 3, who knows where he is health-wise. So questions there. The NFC South, you know, you got at least 2 teams that are very good, but they're going to beat each other up in that division pretty good. Because even if you throw in the Panthers, who are pretty good, they're just going to beat each other up. Out West, you got the Rams. I'm not sold. Look, they're a very good team. I'm just not sold to them being a Super Bowl team. I want to see more out of their quarterback, you know, and then you got the Packers. So I just think the Vikings are the cream of the crop in the NFC. In the AFC, it really is, in my book, still Pittsburgh and New England at the end of the day. And I think this year Pittsburgh sort of has an edge. I think the Patriots are going to start to take a few steps. No, look, they're very good, but they're going to start to take a few steps back here. So I have the Pittsburgh Steelers from the AFC, Minnesota from the NFC, Minnesota winning the Super Bowl, and for our beloved Miami Dolphins, them going 9-7 this year. And we'll see what happens, because this is it, the NFL. This is a game week, folks, the NFL. We will have a show on Tuesday. Everyone be sure to check that out. As always, follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk, at Dolphins Talk. Follow us on Instagram at Dolphins Talk there as well. If you want to write for this website, we are looking to add writers. If you are interested in serious inquiries only, email me at dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com. Again, dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com. If you are interested in writing for our website, dolphinstalk.com, I will talk with you, maybe even have a phone call with you, and go over what we're looking for and see if it's a good fit. Also, be sure to follow us on Facebook, The link is all over our website. It's at the bottom of pretty much every article. It's on the right-hand side. It's everywhere. Also, be sure to follow the Facebook page, I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan, run by the great Carlos Hernandez. Carlos is a big supporter of ours. We love him, and I want to encourage everyone to check out the Facebook page, I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan, run by Carlos Hernandez. Check that out as well. We'll have a show on Tuesday. We're going to have a show pretty much every day this week. I'm trying to work on getting some guests lined up. The past 3 weeks or so, we've been loaded with guests, and there's a few more people I'd like to have on prior to the season, or at least in the first week or two of the season. So just trying to line that up with them, see what works for them, recording-wise and stuff like that. So be on the lookout for that. Everyone, have a great rest of your Labor Day holiday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.